Okay, let's begin. Ayin Aleph, page Ayin Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. Shoresh HaTorah Tzarech HaAdam LaHamik V'Lilmoid. Now he's going to teach us about the principle of learning. To a person should every single day devote himself part of the day, an hour, half an hour, more, 3 hours, whatever it is, to learn a little bit of Torah every single day. What is the goal of learning Torah? He's going to teach us something which I never, ever understood, never knew. And it's amazing to see how he describes what it means to learn Torah Lishma. What does it mean, Torah Lishma? Lakewood, they learn Torah Lishma. What does that mean?
That's what they say.
That's what they say, right? Okay. So I always thought, in my ignorance, it means you learn for the sake of learning. You don't learn in order to know the halacha, to know, to become a rabbi, to get a degree, to whatever you want to say to get. You learn for a shidduch, right? You learn, there's a very high level of learning called Torah Lishma. You learn just for the sake of learning. It's a religious experience. You know, the maskilim, they love to learn. They viewed it as an intellectual experience. They didn't have cell phones those days, and internet, other things to keep you busy. So learning, it's hard for us to relate to. Learning was not viewed as a religious experience. Learning is viewed as an intellectual experience. It's just enjoyable. My grandfather was a Rebbe in RJJ, and he used to say his best Talmud, I'm not going to say his name, he's now living out somewhere. He loves to learn. He sits, he's a Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesia, and he sits every single day, and he learns a Daf Gemara, and on Shabbos he sits with a cigarette, he's smoking and learning without a yarmulke, the geschmack of learning a Daf Gemara. It's very tragic. It's viewed by many in the secular world as an intellectual experience. However, Torah Lishma tells us that it's not only an intellectual that can be used to your advantage. If you enjoy the intellectual challenge and the stimulus, that's all to your benefit. That's a wonderful thing, but it's a religious experience. You have to embellish. It's the intellectual pleasure is an embellishment, but it is primarily a religious experience. You are hearing, you are communicating with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you daven to Hashem, you speak to Hashem. When you learn, Hashem is speaking to you. He's filling up your head with Torah knowledge. Hashem is communicating with you. Many Gedolei Yisrael, you go for a bracha. It's a fascinating thing. People don't know the secrets. Very holy people, you go for a bracha. You ask them a question. And how are they supposed to know the answer to your question? Should I have surgery? Should I not have surgery? Should I move to a different city? Should I take this job, not that job? Go to a Gadol, and you ask them a question, and they give you an answer. And then 2 weeks later, your friend goes to the Gadol. Everything is exactly the same. And he gives them the opposite answer. Why you this? Why him that? Why that? You know the answer is that, I don't know, you have to know if you have the gadol that still do this today. They're on such a level where you can find, where you have confidence. You go to a gadol, he's giving you mamish, ruach hakodesh. It's few and far in between. Even that is, I spent the whole day learning today. You're coming to me, my hours of receiving people, of answering questions, is done, is the after I spent already 6-7 hours sitting and learning. And these people, they live in a degree of holiness that the answer to your question, the Hashkocha Pratis brought it about, that it was presented to me when I was learning. I learned today Daf Gemara and happened to mention a Svara, and that Svara is very relevant to your question. I don't need now to go study the whole Shulchan Aruch, and the whole Shas. It's not a halacha question. It's a dilemma. There's no correct answer. You're asking me my advice, my hergish. You know, I learned today a Daf Gemara. Hashem spoke to me. Hashem told me in advance the answer to your question. He prepped me for this exam that I'm getting now with these people coming to ask me questions. When you dive into Hashem, you speak to Hashem. When you learn, Hashem is speaking to you. We don't realize that behind the scenes, the logic, the give and take of what you're learning influences your decisions during the day after you finish learning. And a very holy person, his sensitivity, his precision, his sensitivity, his antenna is so sensitive, not only does it affect, give an answer to his personal dilemmas, he's basically a source of communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they say, is like that. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they say, he shall live and be well. They say that his asmud is just not to be believed. And when people ask him the question, people who have been to him, they get a sense is that the learning he just recently has done is providing him with the answers to the questions that people are asking him. There's some type of communication in the learning of Torah.
That's why I think maybe what Gomorrah means when it says, when the people walk in the street and say, Psokli Psukecha, when they had a dilemma.
Psokli Psukecha. Tell me what you learned today. That's a little bit different. That's more of
a still, right. It's along those lines.
When you're learning Torah, Hashem is speaking to you.
Maybe that'll give me a message.
A message. Because Hashem spoke. It's not just oh, now, that's a little bit different than what we are familiar with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm just speaking out loud. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, when you ask them a question, I don't know, it doesn't seem that it was that type of response. It seems that it was a certain siyad v'shmai that he felt came from his father-in-law. Because very often when someone asks him a question, he wouldn't give you an answer right away. He would say, I'm going to go to the Kaveri. He writes in all the letters. Or Mayor just reminded me of this yesterday. Very, very often, I'm going to go to my father-in-law. He went very, very often, different times. He went twice a week, then he went more often, whatever. And when he went there, he spent a lot of time there davening. And when he was davening, he also had with him all of the questions, the tzetlach, all the different dilemmas. And I guess the koyach hatzfila, we don't know tzaddikim how this all works, he felt a certain siyata d'shmaya by davening in the presence of kivrei tzaddikim. He was inspired to answer for different individuals a different response. It's a little bit different. That approach of communicating a tzaddik, a gadol, communicating with a kadosh baruch Hu to provide you with an eitzah, solution to your problem, advice, is a bit different than the type of approach people feel is operating when you go to someone like Rav Yibadal Chaim Tov Maruchim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Because this is a very basic yisoid. When you learn Torah, when you daven, you speak. When you learn, Hashem speaks to you. In what you're learning, there's an answer to the dilemma that is being presented to you at that time that you are learning, or in the very near future, or maybe before you sat down to learn. You have a dilemma, you have to make a decision. It's not a halachic decision. A halachic decision, you look up at Shulchan Aruch, you go ask a Rav, look at the Mishnah Berurah, and you find out what the halacha is. The chaluki deis? Okay, the chaluki deis, whatever it is. But when you have a dilemma in life, what to do, by learning Torah, it's a religious experience. It's not. That's what I thought was called Torah Lishma. I'm sure it's correct. But he presents here the Sefer Chassidim a whole new dimension of what it means, Torah Lishma. It means almost the opposite. The purpose of learning is to know what to do. La Suke Shmaitza, to come down to the depth of the subject, Aliba de Hilchasa. There's a practical, a very practical on nafgamina, a very practical benefit that comes out of learning. You know what the halacha is. We're brought up in a generation where you're learning in Lakewood not because you're going to be able to pass on the halacha. You're not going to know the halacha. You're not going to be able to reach that level of asug. Everything already has been decided. And any major decision is not going to come ask you anyway. It's not for you to decide. So why are you learning Torah? What we learn is because we live in an environment that is so dangerous. The moral climate of society is so low. We learn Torah just to boost up our spiritual safeguards. It's not a matter of learning Torah to decide halacha. It's a spiritual resistance that we learn Torah to protect ourselves from the dangers of the world. The world has sunk to a level where there are no morals. And it's easy as pie to sink into that level. We learn Torah Lishma, this is the way it's understood today. We learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah. It's a religious experience to boost our Yirah Shemayim. That's it. But it's not what he says. It's very obvious he didn't have this Nisayan. 800 years ago, it does not appear they were in an environment where they were so threatened. Their moral standards were so threatened. The goyim, to a large degree, were very, very honorable religious people. And you live in a ghetto. You live in your own little world. No one's coming to kill you. No one's coming to bother you. No one's something different. What out there are you going to do anyway? What could you possibly do? So why then? What does it then mean? Torah l'shma. It means to learn Torah, not for kavod, not for money, in order to know how to live, how to accomplish. That's the thrust of what he says. Okay, yes, you want to say something?
He
says, Mamish says those words. Mamish says those words. Yeah?
That's funny. I'm reading a book that was put out about the Lubavitch and Rabbi Elovashon, and it consists of stories of people's of their interaction with the Rebbe. And it's amazing how much he knew about things you would never think would go. For example, he met with the economic head of the central bank in Israel, and he's talking to him about banking, and he's talking to him about this.
He's a brilliant person. But a lot of those things, you know how he knew those things? His wife. His wife every single day devoured all the papers, all the magazines, everything that was available, and she cut out, gave him a file. This is what the Rebbe has to know.
But there's a story, there's one story that
quote. That's a fact. And he had tea with her every single day when he went over these things with her. And he still told his Hasidim, a day without having tea with my wife is like a day not wearing tefillin. And tefillin by Lubavitch is a big thing.
There's a story.
What?
There was a sculptor. I think his name was
Schulder.
And he passed away. And he was in the middle.
Paul Schulder?
No.
Who did you say?
Jacob. I think his name was Schulder. He was a sculptor, a famous sculptor, and he was in the middle of developing a sculpture of a bird.
A bird, yeah.
To put in Israel, and he died. So his widow came to the Rebbe, and she asked him, should I complete the thing or not? What do you think? And the Rebbe immediately pulls out Sefer Iyov, shows her the pasuk about that the bird will rise, the phoenix bird will rise, and the Rebbe said, well,
he was brilliant. He was brilliant, super brilliant. But what's the question? He was
that was talking about why rabbis know all these things. It's because everybody comes from the shilas. They, you know, one guy is an accountant, one person's a lawyer, and little by little, over the course of years, he learns a lot about a lot of different businesses
from people who consult with him.
And processes all that information, so he knows about a lot of businesses.
Okay, let's go further. Let's now read this up. Let's read this up. Shorei Shatar, what is the goal here? It's a new topic. The Sefer Chassid very quickly jumps from one topic to the next. Now he's going to tell us the purpose of learning Torah, the topic of learning Torah. The Shoresh, the root goal, the focus, the goal of learning Torah, Tzarech Adam Lahamik, you have to learn Be'iyun, they have to go into the depths, V'lilmoid, to learn, V'ladas, and to know, Ma'aseh B'chol Dover. What's the bottom line? What is the practical consequence of this halacha? Technology. How do we deal with technology in light of the halacha? How do we deal with these things? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Seichel Toiv L'chol. What does it say? Oh, Sehem. And he says, Lilam Deim Lo Nemar. Does not say in the pasuk that you're going to receive Seichel those who learn, study. Ella Le'oy Sehem. You got to be practical. You got to go out into the world. You have to go take the world, the physical world, and inject the halacha. Shelo yehei adam karei v'shayne. A person should not learn, should read the Torah and learn Mishnayis, and then when he goes home, boyet be'aviv, kick his father, oy be'rabbi, oy be'misha gadol mimenu. Where's all your learning? That's what you learn and do when you learn Torah. You go and you talk like this, you talk nevel pe, you go and you have chutzpah and the midas ra'os. What kind of business is this? Ella Loime, this is already good. I see sometimes people say, while they're sitting and learning, this guy, at least in the Beis Medrash, is good. He goes home, he becomes a Sheketz. I see people in the Beis Medrash, they behave like a Sheketz. Rahman al Islam. I'm not joking. You don't believe my stories, but I'm telling you. No. Oy, Barabo, Oy, Bami, I'll tell you eventually. Oy, Barabo, Oy, Bami, Shagol, Manu. Ella Loime, Al Manas, Lilameid. The goal is, l'lameid, is to learn, lishmar, to guard, v'lasos, and to do. This is unbelievable what it says over here. This is not in Lakewood. In Lakewood, in the Sefer HaChas, they took this out. This has been censored, these words. V'zoyhi toiro lishma. Torah Lishma is to get a job. That's what it says. That's what it says. To go learn, to know how to be Mekayim the Torah, to know the practical halacha, Hilcha Shabbos, to know all these things. Obviously, you can't compare the 800 years ago to today. It's a different world today. But he's telling us that his taich of Torah Lishma does not mean like it's commonly used anyone today. What does it mean, Torah Lishma? They will tell you without any hesitation to learn just for the sake of learning. It doesn't mean you have to know the Psak Halacha. You have to be practical. No, no. Learning is not a practical experience. It's an idealistic experience. It's a religious experience. You need someone to support you. You need a whole team of people to support you to enter into this world. And it's very important because we live in a very different type of world today. We live in a very dangerous world, a very morally corrupt world, and it's an absolute necessity. But that's called Torah Lishma. But that's not what he says. He has a very, very different translation of Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means to learn, to be practical, to know what you're supposed to do. Period. V'chol oisik b'Torah sh'loi Lishma, noyach loy sh'loi nivri, it would be better that he was not born. V'chol adam sh'oisik. Now he says something very shocking. He says something very shocking, and this you should know is a very big challenge to the Baalei Tshuva movement. Now I'm going to say something very, very controversial. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, and I don't like it either, but when you experience, when you have a bad experience, it changes your whole perspective on life. V'chol adam sh'oisek b'Torah v'yodea bo hamid, you learn y'oisek b'Torah, and you know mitzvahs, v'ein mekayim, you don't fulfill the mitzvahs, oy lo, woe to this person who learned Torah, ulema'ulema'zoloi, and to his mazel, whatever that means, shuhu toreach b'olam, he works hard in this world, k'dei liknos gehenim. Whew. Okay, a person who learns and does not fulfill what he learns, so he knows too much and he knows that he's not doing the right thing and he's troubling. He's working in this world for what purpose? To acquire Gehenna. Better you should be ignorant and not get into trouble. The Godol Dinoi Me'asher, he is much worse shape. Me'asher Loi Lomad V'lo Yoda Lihi Zoher, he never learned, does not know to be careful regarding these matters. Ki hu mevinu mischaven limit, because what he learns, he just uses it as a tool to rebel. Now, let me tell you something extremely controversial, which I'm going to tell you later. I've charot that I told you, and that is in the Baal Tshuva movement. If you take upon yourself to bring under your wings Baal Tshuva, you have to be committed to go all the way. Because what happens sometimes is you take people, they get all excited, you meet people, then they're not religious altogether. Come for Shabbos, you come be put on tefillin, do this, and you work, and they become semi-religious. And when they become semi-religious and time passes, it happens, and I know this firsthand because I have a very bad experience, is these people become a thorn for Klal Yisrael. If they don't, you don't take them all the way and make them like you. Like, you know, there are a lot of problems in Klal Yisrael. There are a lot of issues. Okay, don't burn down Klal Yisrael. You know, let things be. There are issues. But there are people amongst us who are very big troublemakers. They're very big troublemakers. They really make a churban. They make life for religious, for people with shomer Torah mitzvos, a churban. And some of these people are Baalei Tshuva. And why, and how did they become Baalei Tshuva? Because a rabbi went and met them, and brought them tachas kanfei Ashrina, and brought them up to speed, and then, okay, I'm done, I have to go now do other Baalei Tshuva, and I'm going to let you figure out everything else on your own. And they're left somewhere in the middle. And when they're left in the middle, and they become a little bit excited, they can do very, very great damage. I once met a person who looks like anyone else, like in the yeshiva world, and he's a very, very smart person, and the nastiness is just not to be believed. Wherever this guy goes, it's just a churban. And then, I didn't know this for many, many years. I only found out later years. This person's a Baal Tshuva. I never knew it was a Baal Tshuva. I never would have imagined. Not just a Baal Tshuva from nothing of nothing. Nothing. He comes, mamish, not like, you know, he grew up traditional, this, that. He's Jewish. Someone chapped him, made him from. He's a little wilder person, became an extreme. And then, boy, did he know how to make trouble for everyone else. And then it just hit me, wow, was it really to the benefit of Klal Yisrael that they made this guy from? Was it really this guy, you know, he was living his life, he was probably driving a Harvey Davidson motorcycle somewhere. I can just see him with tattoos driving around, a wild guy. Yeah, he's Jewish. And probably, you know, you'll tell me, oh, his Zayd is Alta Zayd is probably begging someone to take in Tachas Kanfi Ashchina and make some brachas and put on tillin and be this and be that. That's right. That's how I would feel. I have an Enikol, a great-great-grandson, his mom is a sheikh, is living in the world. And then someone comes and fadrezen, and makes him frum. And he gets, you know, this person's a little bit hot-spirited. And he becomes a little extremist. And then he has a setback. He has a setback in life. Things don't go his way. He gets a setback. He has a tsar, Rahman al-Tzlan. And then, boy, does he let out like a loose cannon and cause a lot of people a lot of grief. Look, you can't judge. Even people that are from birth can do that. Right? You can't really judge. Who is to say? For some reason, with this guy, this fellow, I don't know why, I just feel it's different. It's not like your average person who's from birth and just goes mashuga and makes a chorban. For some reason, I'm saying, just let him be the way he was. Why did you have to wake him up and make trouble? If he's a young fellow, you know, the children, the next generation, the children, the grandchildren, you're right, I can't. This guy's already, you know, he's already done. Is it really kedai to go take every fellow and make them from? If you're not going to go with them all the way and hold them by the hand all the way, what? Exactly. So that's what I told you in advance. I'm not going to tell you. I'm having charata. How do you know initially? You don't. But maybe you do. You're right. There is no answer. I would never say this if not for seeing something like this. This was like lingering in my mind. Okay, it was a machshavas ros because I was a victim. So I was very hurt by this person. So I once thought, and then I read this and it really shook me up because no one today would say this. Dr. Fruchter, you're right. Today, this would be censored.
My last record is
when they find someone, they put on film, they don't tell them go buy a film. When they put on someone, they tell them, you know, you lied it before Stalin, they don't sit on the stairs. When Yehuda Chas brought this stuff, you didn't have a Shulchan Aruch.
Exactly, a different world, a different...
I told you in advance.
What I'm saying is nonsense in our generation. It's total nonsense in our generation. Absolutely. Because who are you to say? You know, you make cheshbonos. Who do you make cheshbonos? But there is a teeny kernel of truth in what I'm saying. Because he says it. Look what he writes over here. It would have been better for this person to remain the way he was than to study Torah, to have all this information, to be armed with all this knowledge, and go and make trouble. To make trouble for not for himself, for everyone. The Chorban, look what he, I'm not making this stuff up. What does it mean, Shaloi L'Shema? According to him, he just defined. Shaloi L'Shema means not for the goal of Lishmar Villa Asos, not to do. I know I'm learning Torah to acquire knowledge so I can make trouble. Where I'm going to arm my woman nation, Noyach loy shloy nivra. The chol adam shoisek betar v'yodeh bo hamitzvahs. I know the mitzvahs. V'ein mekhaimon. Oy loy ulamal zoloy shu toireach bo'oylam kidei. He's working in this world. Liknois gehenim. V'gadol dino. He's much worse off this person. Me'asher loy lomad v'loy yodal lihi zoyer. If you would have not have known, if you would have been remain on his motorcycle, no one would bother him. We wouldn't have all these problems. It's because we did it to ourselves. We brought him in, but we didn't take him all the way. We brought him in, and we just dropped him off in the wrong spot.
That's the Nachman Lubavitch, unfortunately.
No, Chas V'Shalom. I told you.
No, but I had a Rebbe that gave me Klal Prank about it. My last Rebbe, when I was in Beis Medrash, this is what his knock was, that they bring you in, and then they let you make your own way, as opposed to now, he wasn't a Chusel, this Dalitzbach. He said when Satma takes you in, they make sure you have a job and they make a shidduch and whatever it is. They give you a life Whereas the other one, you live in squalor, you know, they bring you in, you come from, and they let you swing in the wind.
It's very hard. It's a very great achrayus. And again, like I told you, make it very clear as day. I don't want Lubavitch coming to put a number on me. Hit on me. Chas v'shalom, this applies to Zman Hazeh. It doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, yeah.
Don't you have, I think you think, say, in every yeshiva, you have a bacha that goes off?
I told you that. I told you. The same thing can happen with your FFB.
You try it.
Right, exactly. But we should at least take this seriously. There's no take seriously. If you commit yourself, to do something, especially in the world of Kiruv, you know, it's a big achrayus. You can't go bring a person halfway. You can't leave him high and dry. Like you say, you know, there's a lot involved being part of being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And there are a lot of problems amongst us who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and we have enough problems already. We don't need more problems. And it's not a simple thing. So today you can't say this because everyone is, we live, Baruch Hashem, we live in a world where no child left behind. Everyone has to be brought up to a certain degree. And Adarabba, it's a different door, a different generation. But look at the words of Yehuda HaChassid. He's saying something that is really, it's a different world, a different sign of the times. And although 100% it's not practical for us, but there is a little mashu that it is relevant for us, is to take at least responsibility in what we do. Okay, so go we have to really stop it because I want to talk a lot about the parasha, so let's take a short break, and then we're going to spend some time on Inyanei Nisuin, marriage-related issues that come from this parasha, Yaakov marrying Leah v'Rachel.
And they sent a Hozindik to him, and he yelled out, it was quiet, 300 people at least heard him yell out, "Wow, Ziz Gishmak."
Really? It was Gishmak?
That's what he said.
Wow. Scary.
We were standing in the street,
scary,
young man,
scary, scary
before
stuff.
We went upstairs, and he said, "I'm going to drive my car."
Any of us are making a connection with the fact that Yaakov, he pretended that he was Esav, that he got it back because with the idea of Leah pretending that she was Rachel. I think there's some sort of connection.
Mida connected Mida.
In an obscure way.
It's brilliant what you're saying.
No. The idea of identity, you know.
Fool, identity theft.
Yeah, I just was thinking about that.
Fascinating.
I'm feeling the portion one.
It makes a lot of sense. It's me to connect me that.
He was a sadik in everything that he did, but there was something wrong with it.
How did it have to come out? Normally, you always see the person before Avero Guerrero Savero. How did Adam sin in the inside of that? How can it be? He had to have done something wrong before. So Taka say, they were naked, v'lo yisposhash, arum in mitzvahs, when Gan Eden, they didn't do one mitzvah, and there was no shame. That's right, it comes to me. Gan Eden comes to me in this world. That was the first, what was the first chait?
Well, they were put into it, they didn't...
There was an expectation. They were put into Gan Eden, they were given blessing. There was an expectation by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that you should feel a degree of shame, mashu of shame. I put you in Gan Eden, the Malachim are serving and dancing around you. Did you deserve this? I created you and I put you, what did you do to deserve this? Zero. Arum, you're Arum. Don't you think you should feel a little mashu of shame?
You think that was the...
Because now they say this. So that was the real hate. The law is a tiny. The law is special. You're not embarrassed. That was the first hate. That's what triggered, opened up the possibility for Adam to be initialized. Now, the question though is, so what was the hate before the law is special, which before that? Okay, that's another. You have to go further and further and further. But every single thing that happens, there's always something before it. I don't know how you can go to the very beginning, where it all starts. So now the question is, if Yaakov Avinu had this unfortunate situation where the only way he can get the brachas is through deception...
He did it the right way.
It had to be there was something before that brought that.
Maybe that's why we say, Titein Emes LeYaakov, we should give it to him, because there was something...
You shouldn't want to come. Yeah, all right. Here, Abayis, let's begin. I want to discuss your subject. You say this... Let's learn. Let's learn some.